The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call, we have open lines, 877-207-2276. And let's see, tonight I'll be teaching, I have a Bible study here at the house, so I'll be teaching on eschatology. And it's probably going to be a two-hour study. I'm going to go through a lot of stuff. I'm going to have handouts for the people. We're going to be going over varying scriptures, and I'm going to ask them, the participants in the study, to map out what goes where on a timeline. If that sounds interesting, you want to join, you can do that. We go to Facebook. We put a link on Facebook and also on YouTube if people can watch, and they do. And then it often goes for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then afterwards, we talk, and we just leave it open. And people can listen to us talk and ask questions and things like that from all around. If that sounds like fun, you can check it out tonight. It'll be supposed... Now, here's the thing. It's supposed to start at 9 p.m. Eastern time, which is 7 p.m. my time. But we do that for the people who are local to come in. But we've been starting at 7:30 a lot. So if you go at 7 and it's not started... Just bear with us. It begins usually by around 7:30 when people mosey on in. I think it's just a better time frame for a lot of people. So there's that. Remember, we have a prayer ministry, and if you are interested, just contact us at prayer@carm.org. carm.org. It's all you got to do. And let's see what else. So I've done a lot of stuff, and done a lot of stuff on some new projects. There's so many things, and I could talk about. You know what? I gotta whine. I gotta complain about something. This is driving me crazy. You know, I am 64, and I realize that I'm going to be slowing down. But there's so much to do, and I just don't have the energy anymore. Can't concentrate as well as I used to. What else can I whine about? It just drives me crazy. And you know what I was thinking about today was Jack LaLanne. Now, some of you know who he is and some of you won't, but I saw that guy when he was in his 90s. I couldn't believe he could. Man, he was so full of energy. And he popped in my mind. And so I'm going to look into what he did, because I know this, at his 65th birthday, this is true. This is not made up. This guy, Jack LaLanne, was a health guy back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. He swam from Alcatraz Island to shore, 65 years old, swam from Alcatraz Island, that's in the San Francisco Bay, you know, the prison used to be there. He swam from there to shore with his hands handcuffed and his feet shackled, and he pulled 100 people in rowboats. He had a rope thing in his mouth as he dog paddled, and he brought them all to shore, and then he did 1,000 push-ups. The guy was incredible. You can look it up. He's my hero. And boy, I'll tell you, I got to figure out what to do. If some of you out there know what to do, how to lose weight, get energy, you know? Oh, man. Oh. I got so much to do. I got books to write. I got videos. I have about 200 to 300 videos on 1 minute videos I'm supposed to produce. You can imagine how much that is. When I whine a little bit, my voice goes up. So there you go. All right. Well, whining's biblical. You know, take a little wine for your stomach, as the Bible says. So, all right. Hey, folks. Look, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Marty. From Virginia. Marty, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, just to recap, we were talking last night at the end, and you told me to give you a call, and I was the one that mentioned that you were talking very nicely last week, Mother's Day, and mothers having miscarriages, whether or not they were mothers and that they were. And I talked about the abortion that I paid for 40 years ago and wanted to know how to feel about that in kind of that light. And you were getting ready to say something, and then your show ended. So that's where it was left off. Is that enough information?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you know, I want to address this to people who are listening for the moment. I know that there are a lot of women out there who've had abortions, and a lot of men who've been involved with that as well. Let me just say that I can relate. And I've written about it on my website. There's a testimony there. And when I meet people who have had that, and I can see in their eyes, I can see the pain that from the remembering. My heart goes out to them. Compassion increases. And I know that the Lord's compassion increases too. I know that He bore our sin in His body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24, and that we can find forgiveness and rest and peace in what Jesus, God in flesh, did on that cross, where this divine, infinitely valuable blood washed away our sins. And I take comfort in knowing that God loved me and chose me for salvation, knowing all of my sins, some of them incredibly bad. And so His forgiveness is there. And though guilt is a natural and proper response to such a thing, so is a rest in Christ when we learn that His love and His forgiveness is greater than our sin, and that we can find hope and peace in what He has. Just as the woman caught in adultery was about to be stoned, and adultery's horrible sin, Jesus forgave and said, "Go and sin no more." And those are the words for us. And we need to be better husbands, better fathers, better citizens, better Christians, as we look to Christ through all of it. And remember that Christ, as I sometimes imagine, I sometimes imagine this pole, this wood stake in the ground, and above it is a cross beam, and this cross is splintery-ish wood, and there's a person on that cross who I don't want to look up to because I'm not even worthy to raise my eyes. And sometimes I visualize that blood mixing with the dirt and the muck, and my face is down there to the ground, thanking my Lord for His great love and forgiveness. And if I look to my left and my right, I will see others like me who also are around that cross, resting in the forgiveness and weeping for our sin, and yet thankful for the great sacrifice of Christ. And that's what I do. And I realize and I accept that Christ has loved me, knowing everything about me, and has chosen to forgive. And I need to rest in that forgiveness and move forward, having counted my sins as dung, and move forward aiming to glorify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what I have left to do. And so I take my eyes off of my own sin, so to speak, and put them on that person of Christ, and trust Him and know that I'm forgiven and move forward. And that's what we need to do, all of us, because all of us who are guilty in that area can look to our left and right at the foot of the cross and see others, so many others like us, who are also forgiven. Okay?
One last thing. Do you suppose, or is it biblical, that I might meet that child in heaven and maybe raise that child in heaven, or is there any?
Yeah, I expect to see my lost child, my birth defect child, miscarried child, and other child in heaven. That's what I expect. And so I would hope that for you too. you know, I have a, I wrote a book called The Influence, and I mentioned it's out, been out for years, and the main character wants to commit suicide because his son died in crib death, and he's a non-believer, and he's really got all kinds of problems. There's demonic thises and thats going on, and at the end, and his wife, before she met him, had an abortion. And there's a scene where in heaven, because he ends up there temporarily, and it makes sense in the plot, and he meets them. He meets them. And the forgiveness and the joy that is there in the presence of goodness and perfection and love that permeates that area because it's the dwelling place of God. And I've had people tell me that when they've read that, they've cried. And I remember crying when I wrote it. But people have, more than one, have just said, yeah, men and women, that they've cried over it when they've read. So, all right.
Well, thank you, Matt, very much.
Okay, Marty, just look to Christ. Let it go. And
yeah, I will, and I do. Yes.
And ask him to use you. All right?
Okay, good. Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. God bless.
Bye.
Bye. All right. If you want to give me a call, we have open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. Yeah, I got a question about double predestination, you know, like the God's heart and Pharaoh's heart, or was it Pharaoh's heart already hardened and God just let him hang himself, give him enough rope to hang himself later on?
No, God actually hardened his heart. A lot of people, what they want is they want God. They want God to be the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, et cetera, et cetera, you know, and that he's so nice that he's not going to do anything like that. And Romans 9 is the area that we need to go to along with Proverbs 14:6. And I'll read Proverbs 14:6, and I'll take a look at Romans 9. Actually, it's 16:4, not 14:6. And what it says in Proverbs 16:4 is kind of enlightening. It says, the Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. And this is what it says in Proverbs 16:4. Now, you're making noise in the background, everybody. There's noise. Okay. Are you there? Okay. We got clicking sounds.
I'm
stuff.
Here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I should tell you, see, I'm autistic, and sounds like that throw me off. Everybody, when you call me up, don't be cackling and things like that, because this is what it is. So now I forgot my train of thought. Okay, Romans chapter 9. So when we talk about this issue of Romans chapter 9, it says, for this, scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth, so that he has mercy on whom he desires. He hardens whom he desires. Now this is part of the thing we're going to get to in verses 22 and 23. So I think the break will continue, okay? Hey, folks, please stay tuned. And we have several open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Alberto, are you still there?
Hello?
Yes, you're still there.
What? Okay. So
I was going to finish up.
So the double predestination is so basically God allows people to have their way, but all the evil in them, basically.
Let me finish.
You know, he lets them have their way, so it's not
okay,
that God.
Alberto. Uh-huh. Let me finish the scriptures, okay, and see what the word says, and then we can go with what the word says, okay? So this is what it says, that he raised up Pharaoh, And he says, so then, this is Romans 9:18, so then he has mercy on whom he desires and he hardens whom he desires. It doesn't say he strengthens their wickedness. He hardens them. Now, this is something that is surprising to a lot of people. And so some people, what they'll do is they'll interpret this set of scriptures to mean it's groups of people. And that's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. I would debate anybody on that one publicly. So it goes on. It says, you will then say to me, why does he still find fault for who resists his will? If the only way this question makes sense is if what he's teaching... Okay, I'm going to put you on hold while you're making noises. All right. This only way this makes sense is to understand that there's an objection. He has mercy on whom he desires. He hardens whom he desires. Well, if that's really what's happened to individuals, then you can say, well, then why does he still find fault? Well, that's exactly the question that is raised by Paul. And then he goes on in verse 20, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God, the thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. So the issue here, what is Romans 9 saying? Is it saying that God prepares people for destruction? And the answer is yes. That's the strong implication of double predestination. All right, Alberto, did you hear that?
Okay, I heard that.
Okay.
I heard that.
That seems to be what the text teaches.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, because I watched a video on the internet that said that God allows the person have their way so that evil is already in them. So basically, God lets them hang their own. Gives them enough leash.
He does that too. He does that too. They're not exclusive. Or they don't exclude each other. But that's what he does. He allows people to do what they're naturally going to do. He uses it, but he also has the ability to raise them up for what he desires. He makes the wicked even for the day of evil, and he makes one from the same lump, one vessel for honorable use, another one for dishonorable use. That's what it says. So we have to deal with what it says.
Okay, I understand.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, thank you. God bless you, sir.
You too, Alberto. God bless. Bye. All right, let's get to June from Buford, Georgia. Hey, June. Welcome. You're
hey,
on the air.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you. How are you? What
sorry.
I'm asking
so, I'm sorry?
Is mm-hmm. I am asking that I'm reading Genesis now, and it talks of Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And, of course, Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel, mm-hmm. which made four people on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Cain killed Abel.
Yes.
And then in the next verse, it says that Cain left and lived in the land of Nod. And then the mm-hmm. very next line, I'm reading it, says Cain loved his wife and slept mm-hmm. with her. And mm-hmm. I thought there was only four people on the earth at that time. And I wonder how it came about and different people and different colors and different origins.
It says in Genesis 5:4, that the days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So we know that they had other children. So the general response to this is that Cain and Abel weren't said to be their only sons. Nothing in the scripture says that was their only children, and that's it. It just says, and Cain killed Abel. They had relations, and he conceived and gave birth to Cain, chapter 4, verse 1. And he gave birth to another son, Abel.
I guess I'm asking if they came later, because she had Cain and Abel. He killed them, and the only thing it mentions is that he leaves and goes to Nod.
Yes.
And married, he loved his wife.
Yeah.
It went straight to that. And then later it says that they had more children. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
where did his wife come from is what I'm trying to understand.
Adam and Eve, obviously, logically, had to have other children before Cain and Abel. It doesn't say that Cain and Abel are their first children or their only children. Okay. So that's the point.
Okay.
now the man had relations with his wife Eve. It doesn't mean that was the first time they had relations and conceived. So what we see here in Genesis are the extractions of individuals brought out by Moses in order to emphasize certain parts of theology and history for understanding. And furthermore, Adam and Eve would have had to have children, and they would have had to marry each other and had relations and produce children. And it wasn't until later that God said incest is no longer allowed. And this, I believe, is because the genetic line was so pure from the beginning that it wasn't a problem. And later on, nope, no more of this. Okay, for the degradation effect of the second world.
So much loved by God, but yet him and Sarah could not get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked him to sleep with the concubine,
uh-huh.
which he slept with and had a child.
Then
it sounded like to me that it just kept going. I mean, until Sarah finally had a child. And I know that that's a sin to sleep with other people, but back then I guess that was done.
Yes, it was. So, God often works within the culture, even if the culture is wrong, to accomplish his will. So he allows people to murder, to lie, to steal. He allows it. And he told Abraham that he was going to bless him, and Abraham then took it upon himself to intervene. And so Sarah was without child, and that was a shame to women back then, a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, concubines were semi-married, is the an interesting way to put it. They were for that purpose. And the idea of a man's seed was placed in a woman. It was the same concept to them of a seed for a plant put in ground. You could put it anywhere. It doesn't matter the ground. It matters the seed. This is why Sarah could say, well, I'll have a child through, I forgot her name. I've said it 1,000 times over the years.
I know, and I went to see it, too.
Oh, I can't believe it.
I forgot her name.
Oh, man, I've said it so many times over the radio, too. Anyway, you know, your brain skips a beat. So he went into her and had a child, and that child became Sarah's because it's the husband's seed. So therefore, that's how they thought. And so then that's the Ishmael became the people of wild donkey. Hagar, I would
gotcha.
Okay? All right?
Okay. And
all right. We got a break. Can you hold? Please hold on, okay, June?
Sure.
We'll be right back after these messages. One open line, folks, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's get back on the air here with June. Hey, June, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. And I have one short one. I know God doesn't make any mistakes when he forms you in your mother's womb. But there are some people that once they come out and they're dressed like boys or they're dressed like girls, they do not feel in their heart sincerely that they're those people. And I know he doesn't make any mistakes, but some people just choose to be that way. But there are some people that really felt like since day one that they didn't feel right in the clothes that they were wearing. Like if it was a boy, they knew they weren't supposed to be wearing those boys' clothes. They felt better in a girl's clothes. And I'm wondering, as they grow up and they feel more like that, is there something there genetic that maybe didn't work out just right? And then I had somebody to ask me not too long ago, well, if she forms it in the mother's womb, then it must be perfect. But yet some of them come out another way. And this has been going on for centuries. It just wasn't talked about.
Okay. So Adam represented mankind. So when he fell, we fell in him, Romans 5:19. but creation also fell. So we have famine, we have earthquakes, we have plagues, we have diseases in the world, because he represented the world. He represented mankind. He was given that authority. In that fall is an effect upon our physical form. So, for example, I'm born with what's been diagnosed with Asperger's. My wife was born with something called Lewy Dietz, a very rare connective tissue disorder, and it's pretty severe. And so can there be mental brain alterations or effects of sin in the world? Yes. Can people be born with a tendency to be attracted to homosexuality? I believe so. I believe it can be. They can be born that way because of a wiring problem, something that's wrong in their the wiring. Just like someone could be born with, no hands, no feet. People born blind.
Sorry.
And so, this I think is possible. Now, the thing then becomes: well, if that's how I was born, then that's what's right, and that's just out of the. The fortune cookie, it's fortune cookie morality. I was born this way, so it's okay. Well, what if a person is born to be a liar with a tendency to lie? Does that make it okay? Of course not. Tendency to want to steal, does that make it okay? Of course not. So just if you're born that way, doesn't excuse you from doing what is right before God. I have certain tendencies that are unbiblical, and I've been fighting certain tendencies my whole life, and I'm going to continue to until the resurrection. But doesn't mean, well, I'm just naturally this way, so it's okay. That's not it. So that excuse doesn't carry any weight. Okay?
Okay. Okay. You've been very helpful, and I've been going really fast writing everything down.
Oh,
I appreciate
okay.
it. You're really
well,
good.
By God's grace.
I don't get you here in Georgia, but my brother gets you in North Carolina, and he gave me your phone number. Because we both read the Bible, and he said, I can't answer those questions. You need to call and ask him.
Well, praise
God.
So
anyway, I did it, and I thank you.
Jude, have you been to my website, carm.org? C-A-R-M?
How are you spelling that, Carm?
Carm, carm.org. I've been working on that website for 25 years, all right? And I've written literally thousands of articles. So you can go there and check it out. We have staff help and a guy in Salt Lake City, Luke Wayne, a great guy. We have people in South America, people in Europe.
Oh.
And so we're trying to reach out and give as many answers as possible that are very biblically centered. Some websites don't do that so much.
Yeah.
But we try and make it very biblical. Yeah.
You've been very helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. God bless. Okay.
God bless.
All right. Let's go to the phones with James from Illinois. James, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I had a technical question concerning the nature of Christ.
Okay.
Was Christ always God the Son or the Son of God? I'm not...
Define
able
Christ.
To make it real clear, but the...
Define Christ.
What?
You mean Jesus? The person of Jesus?
I mean the Christ God.
Okay. Christ simply means deliverer, Messiah, anointed one. Okay? So let me lay it out here. The Trinity is eternal. God has always existed as a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always existed that way. And the second person of the Trinity, we call the Son, but is also known as the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John 1:1 and verse 14. That dwelling of flesh among us, that instance, that incarnation, began 2,000 years ago. So the second person of the Trinity that is eternal. The humanity part of Jesus is not eternal in that it was not always in existence. It became real when it was at the inception. And so that union of the eternally old divine nature of the Word, that union occurred with the human nature. That union occurred 2,000 years ago. That union is who Jesus is. And so Jesus had that beginning 2,000 years ago. But the divine nature did not. The human nature did. So we're talking about the union of Christ. That union is called the hypostatic union. In the one person are two distinct natures. That combo, that union, occurred 2,000 years ago. Does that help?
Yes, sir. You know, sometimes I feel like looking at the man Jesus Christ, the divine overshadowed the human. You know what I mean?
Well, what I would say is that let me just say this. There's a doctrine called the communicatio idiomatum, the communication of the properties. So each nature, the divine nature and the human nature, has a set of properties. And both of those sets of properties were ascribed to the single person. So Jesus would say, I'm thirsty. That's human nature. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's the divine nature. So he says, I am thirsty. I will be with you always. So the same person claimed and acknowledged those attributes of humanity and divinity for himself. This is called the communication of the properties. They're communicated to the person.
Yes.
So this is really important, because as soon as those properties are removed, either way, you don't have the person of Christ. And so some people will say that Jesus, the properties of his divinity were limited, or he didn't have them because he became a man. Well, then that would violate the doctrine of the hypostatic union and the communicatio idiomatum in the incarnation. And so we can't say that Jesus' divine attributes did not exist in his incarnation, because the attributes reflect the nature. So a bowling ball has a spherical shape. It has mass. It has a certain smoothness to its surface. It has three holes in it. So by necessity, something that exists, it has certain characteristics because that's what it is. So because God is divine, there's certain characteristics of what he has, because that's what divinity is. And Jesus is divine, so he has to have those attributes. And we don't know how those attributes worked in combination with each other in the single person. And so in some of the attempts in history to answer some of these issues, there's been Socinianism, there's been Nestorianism, Eutychianism, Monophysitism, varying heresies, varying false teachings. And the correct teaching is the hypostatic union, which I would recommend that people go to CARM and look up hypostatic union. And you can learn about it.
Well, Matt, there's another teaching I was worried about. It's the teaching that Jesus became the Christ at his baptism.
Yeah, adoptionism is one of the things. That's a heresy. Okay? Absolute heresy. False teaching. Okay?
Okay.
So, he did not become the Christ at his baptism. He always was. He was always, for example, he was always the Son in relationship to the Father. The Word was always the Son in relationship to the Father, eternally. Now, I'll go slowly on this so people can understand this. The doctrine of the Trinity teaches that there's one God in three simultaneous eternal persons. They are always existing that way. When we get back to the break, I'll start this over, what I just said, and explain what that is and why it relates to him becoming the Christ, and why that's a problem. Okay, so please stay tuned. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, buddy, welcome back to the show. All right, James, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, to say, incidentally, to say that Jesus became the Christ at his baptism is false doctrine. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that, for example. But back to the issue of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always existed eternally. It's always been the case that the decree to have the Word become incarnate It has always been the case that that was in place. There was not a time when God decided to do something like that. The reason it's not the case that he decided to do it, where there's a point in his understanding what he hadn't decided and then he had decided. The reason this can't be is because God knows all things eternally. And if he knows all things eternally, then he knows all his own decisions eternally. And therefore, the choices he makes are eternally decreed. And we can't understand how all this works, but this is the logical necessity out of this. In relationship to this, the Son, the Word, was always going to be the one who would become incarnate. Always be the one who would do that. And so he's the eternal Word. He is the eternal Son, the eternal Sonship. Because it was always the case that he would be sent by the Father. So it's always the case that he would be the Messiah. It was always the case, eternally, that he would be the Christ, the Deliverer, the Anointed One. And he was anointed from his birth or his conception on. And so he did not become the Christ or the Anointed One at his baptism. That is theological foolishness. Okay?
Thanks, Matt. I'll be praying for you and your wife.
Well, my wife needs more prayer than me, that's for sure, because she's married to me. But yeah.
These are troubled times we're living in, Matt.
And it's going to get worse. Yep.
Yep.
Yes, it is. I'm working on some stuff to help us through that. All right? Okay, buddy.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Bye. God bless. Okay. Let's get to Edder from California. Edder, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Matt?
Yes, you're on the air. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, Matt. Just want to say you're pretty awesome. You're an amazing guy, man, because of God. And I really like your work because it's embedded in truth. And I'm a current member at the ICC.
Okay.
Do you know what that is, Matt?
Yes, International Church of Christ, yes.
Yeah. And I don't know, Matt, but I've been feeling like they're just false teaching.
That's right.
A lot
it's
of shame
cult.
Is like you're always shamed. It's a cult, right?
Yeah. It's a cult. You need to get out.
What was that?
It's a cult.
If you can help me?
Yeah, you need to get out. It's in a cult. You're a cult. In a cult.
Yeah, okay. I know. I am. I feel it, and I always
feel
like shame.
Let me ask you, where are you? Where are you in California? I'm curious. What city?
Los Angeles. Los Angeles.
Because I have friends in the area. I have a friend in Pasadena area, and he's Hispanic, and he knows stuff. He could talk to you. There's also a friend of mine in Temecula I have out there.
Oh, but Pasadena would be best.
Yeah, yeah, it would be best. But, you know, if you email me, maybe I can put you in contact with them. Do you speak Spanish by any chance?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, excelente. You put a lot of Espanol un poco también. But so if you wanted more information, okay, now, it's bad. It's a bad group. It's a bad group, all right? They teach baptism is necessary for salvation. They also teach requirements of your confession to sins, along with sin lists that are kept about you, and that you have to confess everything to people, and higher-ups will know about this, and that your salvation depends upon your goodness and your submission to those people. Otherwise, you're rebellious and not truly Christian and saved.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just get out. You're in L.A. Okay. You can go to... oh, man. You know, I hate it. I have always had trouble with names. He's got the big church out there. Been fighting against the L.A. Oppression of the churches. Jake Hafford. Dang, I hate it. I get frustrated with myself because I have trouble with names. Numbers I can remember. Names has always been a problem. Somebody will write it down in the chat room, I'll tell you. But, you know, there's good churches around there. There are. Okay?
Yeah.
MacArthur.
I know.
MacArthur,
I've been trying to find, like, something to, you know, because I don't want to stop, you know, I don't want to stop reading the Word. Like, I'm a baby Christian, but
yeah.
I don't want to stop, you know. I know Jesus is truth, and like what they're teaching me is I feel it in my heart that it's wrong, you know.
Yeah, I tell you what, I want you to email me at info@carm.org. I'm going to talk to my buddy down there. I think he's in Pasadena. I think he moved, but he's in that area, L.A. area, not too far from, if I remember, it was, I think it was at the 215. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But at any rate, he's a great guy. He's just a great guy. And he's an elder at a church and speaks Spanish and English fluently and knows stuff. Oh, and I also know an L.A. cop. Who's also awesome. He's an LA cop, and so he'd be glad to talk to you too. If you have any questions and stuff, this guy knows his theology also. So you tell you what, you email me, I'll put you in contact with these guys, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay.
Okay.
¿Puedes hacerlo?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I gotta say. What was
okay.
that?
¿Puedes hacerlo?
Yeah, lo puedo hacer.
Okay.
All right. Love you,
right,
bro.
Man.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, God bless.
Praise God. Bye.
Okay.
Bye. God bless.
All right. Yeah, I got some good buds down there. Some good people I know. And there's some good people I know all over the place. There are some good guys. Let's get to Anthony from Oklahoma. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Matt. I know time's getting short, so I got two short questions there for you.
Okay.
First question is this. Out of the sons of Noah, which root out of... Shem, Ham, and Japheth, did the Chinese people come from?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. I don't know either. That's what
yeah.
Okay. And
I don't know. Some people would know that. That's a good question. There's. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Let's see.
Okay. And the next question is this. You were speaking of this earlier in the show. You said that God raises people up, you know, I guess. Hey, I'm on the phone. Don't they choose to be bad, and then that's just it, or is it? God chose them to be bad.
Well, there's a little bit of both, because this gets complicated. So let's see if I can kind of make sense of it quickly. God works all things after the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1:11. So nothing that occurs in the world, no matter what it is, cannot happen independently of God's concern, consideration, touch, whatever you want to call it. His will is involved in everything, whether it's by direct decree and direct action or by prescriptive, in that he's telling us not to do something bad, whether it be permissive, where it's his will to allow us to do something bad. And so he certainly can cause people to do certain things in certain ways. He moves the heart of the king where he wishes it to go. He can bring us to do what he wants, even something bad, if he wants to do that, yet without him being the cause of it. It's kind of hard to explain, but there's, in logic, we have to deal with what's called the ultimate cause, proximate cause and efficient cause. So God can arrange circumstances, that's called the proximate cause, but the actual agent of the bad is that individual. So, for example, God, as it says in Acts 4, 27-28, God raised, I'll just read it, because I want to make sure I get this right. For truly in the city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the peoples of Israel, to do what your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So they brought Christ to crucifixion, which was sinful, and God predestined them to do it. Yet God's not responsible for their sin, because in Acts 2:23, Peter points out that you guys nailed him to the cross, talking to the Jews. So this gets complicated, and there are ways to work through it. It just takes time, we lay these sentences out, and we go, look at this, look at that, doesn't mean this, can mean that. So theologians and logicians have gone through this, and it's easily solvable. Well, not so easily. It just takes 10 minutes of laying things out. When I teach Bible study, I do this. So I kind of forgot what the question was, but that's the general idea of what's going on. Make sense so far?
Right. But what I'm saying though is ultimately the people chose to be bad.
Yes, they do. It's in their nature to choose to be bad.
It's a choice, yeah.
Right. God doesn't make the choice for them. They choose themselves to do that which is wrong. Absolutely.
Okay.
And he uses their evil to accomplish his will, but God can also predestine people to do those things that are wrong, yet they're still the ones who are responsible.
Okay.
It gets deep.
Matt, yeah. I'm sorry for really interrupting you. You know, I didn't mean, somebody was knocking on the door, you know, and I'm trying to tell them, hey, I'm on the phone.
I got a kick out of it. I laughed. It was funny, brother. It's life, you know. It's life. I like it. I can just see a kid coming up and like, Dad, you know, I love that stuff. It's great. It's
absolutely
awesome. Yeah.
Listen, Matt, we're so thankful and blessed by your show. We have so much tremendous knowledge and wisdom that we gain from your show, and may the Lord continue to bless you, and you continue as well to bless everybody in your knowledge and teaching about his word. Thank you very much, Matt.
Well, praise God. Praise God. You know, just praise God, buddy. All right, Anthony. God bless.
Thank you, brother. Take care now. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Let's get to Scott, who's not there. I hope that wasn't because of the rapture that I'm in trouble. He was asking in the text, he was asking about the Nephilim, and the Nephilim, what are the origins of the Nephilim, so might as well get that. We have no callers waiting, so we've got a couple minutes if you want to sneak. No, we don't even have that time. We've got a minute and a half. The Nephilim, the church taught, and the Jews always taught, that the Nephilim were the half-breeds, the fallen angels and women. And people sometimes say, well, that can't happen. Well, how do you know it can't? You know, just saying it doesn't can't doesn't mean it doesn't. But that seems to be the case. And in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the flood came to destroy the world. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And it says, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. So that's what they were holding to. And in verse 9, it says, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah's a righteous man, blameless in his generations. So that's why some commentators think that it has to do with the intrusion of this foreign line into humanity for the purpose of destroying the ultimate deliverer prophesied in Genesis 3:15 and 16, the one who would be the Messiah. And so it was just an evil attempt to thwart that actuality, so God brought the flood to wipe them out. But it doesn't mean that the, so to speak, the breeding program ceased after that, because it looks like there were more Nephilim later on. And there's more about this we can talk about if you're interested sometime. Give me a call. And by His grace, folks, we'll be back on there tomorrow. And remember, I've got a Bible study I'm teaching tonight if you're curious. It'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And just go to Carm Facebook, and we'll put a link between 7 and 7:30. You can watch. I'm teaching on end time stuff. The Lord bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.